The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Now, if you listened to last Friday's program, we had on Patty Vasquez, who is on the show after mine, driving it home with Patty Vasquez. And we had a really great conversation about her experiences in the paranormal. One of the things we had talked about was Waverly Hills Sanatorium, her experience over there. But, you know, one of the things that she had said, which I thought was really interesting, is that she is still waiting for that moment where spirit makes connection to her some way. And, you know, the funny thing was, if you listen to the episode, she says that, but she gave me five examples of how spirit talked with her. But that's fine. But I really hope, I'm going to ask her if we can create some kind of like an event or something out in Chicago where we can come out and maybe do something like that with her, just so that she can kind of experience something, nowhere creepy, you know, somewhere that would be a good experience or whatever. So if you have any suggestions of where I should look in Chicago, I am sure it's just filled with amazing locations and people I could reach out to. If there's anything that you're thinking of, let me know. I would love to hear your thoughts. Send me a note over at comment@ghostboxradio.com, or you can send me a message on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken Facebook page, whatever you feel. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. This afternoon, I didn't really expect this at all. I was on the Matt McNeil Show this afternoon, which airs every Monday through Friday on AM 950, 3 to 5. And I was surprised to be asked, because I wasn't expecting anything. But we talked about the Loch Ness Monster today, because they had that expedition last weekend where they had like 100 people trying to figure out if there's a Loch Ness Monster. The best part, though, is that they were really excited. They found four sounds in the water that they cannot explain. They call it very interesting, but can we hear it? No, because they forgot to plug in the audio equipment. So there is that as well. But if you want to hear that interview, go to ghostboxradio.com. Just that portion of his show is up there for you to check out. It's a really good interview. I mean, I'm not talking about myself. I'm just saying it's a really good conversation. Speaking of good conversations, I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. I'm really excited. For those who don't know, I am part of the Warren Legacy Foundation. Basically, what the Warren Legacy Foundation is we're a group of people who really want to help those in need with any sort of paranormal activity. And it's taken very seriously I don't want to keep saying the word serious, but it is a very serious level. And there's a lot to do to get into it. There's a lot to do once you get a case and how to go through it and stuff. And I've been very excited because today with me I have board chair Joe Franke, who is part of the Warren Legacy Foundation, investigated with the Warrens, investigated for some time, not to try to age you or anything, Joe, but, we look to you for your experience, for your thoughts on a lot of things. And tonight I wanted to talk with you, have a conversation, talk about the paranormal, where you were, where it was, and where it is now. Joe, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Thank you, Greg. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine, truly. And, it's kind of hard to know in some way where to start, because you've had quite quite the career of it. How long have you been investigating?
I met the Warrens and started working with them in 1986. I was 18 years old.
Now,
so, do the math, I'm an old guy now.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I think seasoned, right? That's the word that we could use as well.
Well, it's funny because I usually tell people when I lecture, I say it's kind of come full circle because the Warrens were only a few years older than I am now when I met them.
Right.
They were about, I think, about 59, 60 years old when I met them. I'm 55 now, so it's amazing to look back at all those years and still be able to have such vivid memories of that first night when I met them. You know, I was a snot-nosed teenager, fresh out of high school, didn't know my, you know, I don't want to say bad words, so
thank you.
You know, I didn't know anything.
No.
And I was in awe. I had known of them. I had heard them on television and, you know, print media, but had never met them before that night.
How does that work then? How does it work that you go from knowing about these two people to working with them? You know, it's and I wonder, is this part of the change that we've seen in the field over the past 40 years in the sense that these people who we look at, you know, and we look up to, that they were more accessible back then, or is it something different?
Well, there's a lot has changed over the last almost 40 years.
Yeah.
Largely, you know, social media. We didn't have the internet back then.
No, we didn't.
You know, we didn't have a heck of a lot of these TV shows. You know, every network now has its own, you know, flavor of paranormal show. And some of them are pretty well done, I'll admit. But
mm-hmm.
Back then, you know, the Warrens were, they were featured on television. They had a couple of famous cases, you know, like the cases that were portrayed in the Conjuring movies, the Rhode Island farmhouse, which is about maybe an hour and a half from me. I've been there, not recently, but I was there years ago. Amityville, the Amityville case.
Absolutely.
There was a case called The Haunting in Connecticut that turned into a theatrical movie back in 2009. It wasn't, accurately depict what happened there, loosely based on the facts. But there was a Discovery Channel two-hour documentary done, I want to say 2005, that was very well done, very accurate. You know, my friend John Zaffis actually played himself in that. Documentary. So, but when I met them at one of their lectures, my wife, and I always give my wife credit for this because she saw in the local newspaper that the Warrens were going to be lecturing about two exits down the highway. And I said, well, yeah, I said, I'd love to go, you know, beats going to the movies or something. So, you know, when we went there, Lorraine was at the registration table.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we walk up to the table and she looks at me and I'll never forget this. She cocks her head to the side and she said, honey, have we met before? And she was looking at me like she knew me, but she was trying to picture the name. And I said, no, Lorraine, I've heard a lot about you. I'm very excited to be here. Pleasure to meet you. I said, but we haven't met before. And she's looking at me. I didn't know what she was doing until after she explained. She was reading my aura.
Yep.
Lorraine could read auras, you know, that supernatural glow that emanates from your body. And she's like, there's a reason why you're here tonight. She's like, make sure you come and see Ed and I after the show, when the show ends. So, of course, I'm sitting there, and like I said, I'm 18 years old. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, can't keep a thought in my head because I was like, oh, what do they want to talk to me about? So after the show, Lorraine, you know, she was such a sweetheart. She called everybody honey. She would stay after and answer everyone's question. Ed's packing up with Tony, and he's like, come on, let's go. Let's get out of here, Lorraine. Come on. And so we went across the street to, there was a diner across the street, and we're sitting there, and she's sitting in front of me, my wife's next to me, well, who was just my girlfriend at the time, and Tony and Ed. And she's looking at me, and she's holding my hand, and she's like, you were meant to do this work. She goes, I can tell by your aura. she said, would you like to come and work with Ed and I? And they said they were putting classes together, and there was, I think, six of us in the class, maybe seven. And I don't know what happened to the other people that were there, so I haven't seen those people in 30 years.
Yeah.
Some people didn't, they kind of washed out, you know. But I stuck it out, and, you know, so they used to rent this little back room in a place called Holly Manor in Newtown, Connecticut. And it was not much bigger than a coat closet. And Ed, that's what he would bring in his files and his tape recorder. And we would watch videos, and he'd play the tapes from Amityville, you know, and he would explain the case. This is what happened. And it was just amazing. And my, you know, the hair would stand up on my body listening to him. Yep. Tell these stories about these cases, these real life cases. And so it was about the time that the haunting in Connecticut happened. And I remember that Ed told me about it. He says, yeah, we're working on this case up near where you live, but he goes, you're not ready for it. And he's right. I wasn't, you know, what happened to that poor family in that house.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't ready for it because I, you know. But I remember the first thing that we did was he took us out to, we did psychic photography, ironically, at the cemetery where they're both laid to rest in Connecticut, Stepney Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And in preparation for it, I'd gone out and bought myself a new camera. And he said, you know, buy 400 speed film, 200 speed film, didn't work as well as 400 speed. And, he said, you always load the camera on site and then, you know, go off and take pictures of the headstones. Sometimes he said, you know, the oxidation in the headstones would produce like maybe possibly a face, an image. So I'm going around for at least 15 minutes taking pictures. And Ed looks over at me and goes, Joe, you got to take the lens cap off. I was so excited and nervous.
That's,
you know,
great.
That I had the lens cap on, and I went through like a whole roll of film and just taking pictures of nothing, you know. And they used to have these things called the Ghost Safari.
Okay.
And what they would do is at their lectures, they would have sign-up sheets for the next one, and people would sign up, and then Lorraine would contact you. And we would meet in the parking lot of a restaurant not too far from their home. And we would follow them. Everybody would take their own cars. We would follow them, and we would go to spots locally, like cemeteries or church where exorcism was performed. And then we'd all get out of our cars, form a circle, and they would go through the whole story of what happened here. So the last stop on this particular trip was a place called Dudleytown. You may have heard the legend.
Mm-hmm.
There's many, many stories about Dudleytown. But we went up to Dudleytown. The Warrens, you know, you had to walk down about a mile or so to get to the ruins of this old town. And there's really nothing left but some stone foundations. And you'd walk right by them if you didn't know what you were looking for. But, you know, Ed... had just come off his heart attack, so he couldn't make the trek down there.
Sure.
It was pretty rugged. So they stayed behind, and they said, oh, we're going to probably go get some gas. Their car was low on gas. So we go down with one of the other guides that worked with them, and we come back up, and Ed and Lorraine are there, and Ed's got the hood open to the car, and he couldn't get the car started. He thought he had run out of gas. So by then, that was the last stop on the tour. Everybody just started leaving. And I'm like, Laurel, I'm like, we can't leave them here. You know, so I was, you know, I was a gearhead back in the day, and I had my toolbox in my trunk. So I said, well, let me take a look at it. So I take the air cleaner off. I'm like, well, you're getting gas in the carburetor. So you got gas, but it just was just cranking and cranking. So I'm thinking about 20 minutes, I'm trying to troubleshoot. And I'm like, really, can it be that simple? So I said, hey, hop out for a second. I pop open the fuse box, and I pull the fuel pump fuse, and it was blown. 20-amp fuse. So there wasn't a spare one, so I stole the one from the radio, and I popped it in there. Car started right up.
Wow.
Now, coincidence? Very possible. They've had a lot of issues happen when they had gone up to the Dudleytown area. So anyway, long story longer, they were so happy and excited. Like, come on, kids, we're taking you out to dinner. Let's go. You know, it was dusk. It was maybe like 7 o'clock in the evening. And so we went to his restaurant to dinner. And then after dinner, he's like, it's not too late. Come on, I could take you home and show you the museum.
Oh.
So we go into the house for the first time, and Ed's telling me about Amityville. Mm-hmm. He's telling me about what happened to them when they returned from Amityville. And I'm like, well, what happened? And he's like, well, he goes, I heard this loud noise like sheet metal rattling, like thunder. You know, when you rattle sheet metal, what it sounds like? He said, up out of the basement stairs where his Halloween room was downstairs. He said, this big black mass came up out of the basement, just kind of floated up the stairs. He said, this thing was almost as tall as the ceiling. You figure your standard ceiling is about 8 feet tall. So I'm just there, wide-eyed, like a deer in headlights. I'm like, where did that happen? He goes, right about where you're standing. Oh, my God. I mean, he had a way of telling stories.
Well, that's great.
Hopefully I've inherited some of that. But he was a great mentor and a great teacher and an even better friend. I mean, I miss them terribly, you know.
I am sure. I can only imagine. Joe, why don't we do this? Why don't we go ahead? Let's take our first break. There's so much to talk about with Joe today. If you have questions for Joe Franke, put it in the chat, please. We'll get to them. We want to talk about a number of other things, including the real side to paranormal investigating. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
If you own a holistic or metaphysical business and are looking to expand, then you need to be listed on metamorphosisconnections.com. It's a network where you can grow with like-minded practitioners and reach new clients. MetamorphosisConnections.com is an online directory you need to list yourself and your business. Our platform makes it easy for you to create listings of your products and services, and you can also choose to list your classes, events, and so much more. MetamorphosisConnections.com helps you create weekly and monthly promotional ads targeted towards your potential clients and promotes them for you via social media and newsletter. There are clients searching for your specialty right now. Let us help them find you. Start your listing today so you can share your own unique gifts and talents by finding the level of membership that best fits your needs. Let us help you reach your clients that are searching for what you do. Visit MetamorphosisConnections.com and sign up today.
And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bach, and we have a very fascinating conversation tonight as we are talking with Joe Franke. He has been a paranormal investigator for quite some time, investigating with Ed and Lorraine Warren themselves. For those of you who just by chance may not remember who they are, they were the basis for the films of the Conjuring films. But if you actually do the research and look into their legacy, it's much more satisfying to look at that. The films are fine for what they are, in my opinion, but the real story is so much better. And Joe is also the board chair for the Warren Legacy Foundation. And, you know, this is a really good opportunity because there's a lot of good things we could talk about here. If you have a question for Joe, please put it in the chat. You can do so at Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on Facebook. And Joe, you know, maybe this is a question out of left field, but do you like steak?
Steak?
Yeah.
Yeah, who doesn't like steak?
Well, that's what I thought too. But I only bring it up because I made a terrific steak tonight—a big old porterhouse, and I grilled it. Oh my gosh, it was fantastic! And I always have to share my grilling conquests, I guess, with everybody. It's quite the passion of mine. If you want to see it, I took a picture of it. If anyone wants to see a picture, go to my Facebook page.
Yeah. I had tuna fish.
You had what?
I had tuna fish.
Oh, from a can?
My wife, yeah, oh, I made it.
I'm sorry.
My wife's working. My wife works third shift, so I'm on my own.
And it shows the culinary skill you possess. So let's a couple ways I want to go here, but do you want to take a question first before we go any further?
Sure.
I got from Tom. He asks, were any artifacts the Warrens collected that really freaked you out yourself?
Oh, just about every one of them. But the one that, you know, obviously sticks out in everyone's mind is Annabelle.
Yeah.
The doll. I have her twin sister behind me. That's Annabelle. She's a good sister.
I like that.
No, she's like an exact replica from the same time period, same clothing. My wife won't go anywhere near it. When I lecture, I bring it, you know, just as a, you know, as a gag, real is, you know, but people don't want to come near it. I said, trust me, it's not the real Annabelle doll, you know. But there was the from the Conjuring 3 movie. Mm-hmm. They have a dinosaur, a plastic dinosaur that belonged to David, the boy that was afflicted.
Arnie, yeah.
That dinosaur, the way Ed tells the story just really creeped me out. But that dinosaur was witnessed by multiple people walking and talking, like a voice would come out of it. It's just a plastic dinosaur.
Yeah.
You know? And there were times this would happen and it wouldn't have any batteries in it. And I had some experience in my own house with things that would go off with no batteries in it, you know. But the shadow doll, the Necromicon, the book of spells, and there's a lot of things in that museum that freaked me out. In the beginning, I spent a lot of time in that museum. Ed's office was just off the back of it. And he'd, sometimes on a Saturday or Sunday, he'd call me up, hey, kid, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, not much. What do you need, Ed? Need help with something? Come on down. I want to show you something. You know, and I'd go down and we'd sit in his office and, you know, kind of go over some things. He'd take one of the artifacts and this is what we caught from this case. This is what we brought back from this case. So I feel really privileged and honored to have had in some cases, one-on-one, you know, training with him. And, you know, he always just say to me, he goes, oh, you're the grandson that I always wanted. I tease my friend Chris, who's there.
Yeah, Chris.
Their grandson. I tease Chris, and Chris will tell you, if he was listening, he'd call in or something, and he'd tell you, my grandfather loved you more than he loved me.
Oh, and, you know, that's the thing that I find very, like, the one thing I'm picking up from the, first of all, a couple things I thought was really cool. The idea of basically Ed Warren being kind of like a football coach to you, breaking down tape, so to speak, of the Amityville case. You know, that's the way I saw it when you mentioned it. It's like, I'm breaking this down for you to see. And same with the stuff in the museum. I mean, I guess that's the one way that you can be able to learn to get past being frightened of this stuff if you're immersed in it and know how to either respect the energy or just to be able to take care of yourself in those situations.
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head there, because one thing that Ed would always say, he'd say, face your fears.
Yeah.
Face them head on. And what I do is I tell people, I said, look, I'm here to help you with your affliction. I'm here to help you overcome this. I'm not going to come in with a proton pack on my back and suck this thing up and stick it in the ecto chamber. That's TV. That's Hollywood.
Yeah.
I said, but this is your home. This is your family. You need to dig your heels in and fight whatever may be afflicting you. Maybe it's nothing. You don't know. You know, so, you know, what we do and what I was trained to do was to help people understand what's happening to them. And sometimes it's hard. It takes time to figure out. You know, if you've got a negative attachment, something, dare I say, demonic. I mean, that word gets thrown around too easy these days. But
sure does.
You know, and Ed used to use the word. But something negative and evil and dark, something that's never walked the earth in human form, I mean, that's terrifying.
Yep.
That's terrifying. And people are like, oh, weren't you scared? Of course I was scared at the time. You know, today I'm a little more apprehensive than frightened, but look, you need to respect the power of these things. Yep. I'm just a mortal human being.
Yep.
I'm a big, strong guy. I was bigger and stronger back then, but physical size and shape has very little to do with this work. You need to be strong emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. You know, your faith is a powerful weapon. And I tell people, you know, that will, you know, they'll have an experience and they don't know what's going on. They'll go out and buy a bunch of crucifixes and hang them on the wall or a Bible. And I'm like, look, those crucifixes are nothing but a piece of wood or a piece of metal hanging on your wall, yep, unless you believe and have, yep, faith in what it stands for.
Very, you know, much so.
I was born and raised Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. The Warrens trained me in the way of the Roman Catholic. There are many religions, many denominations out there. We are a multi-denominational team. You know, we deal with people of all faiths. We deal with people with no faith. You know, but you have to know what you're dealing with. And I fear there are a lot of people out there that I call thrill seekers.
Yep.
Maybe they have good intentions, but they don't really know what they're doing because their only claim to education is watching television shows.
Yeah.
And these television shows, as we were talking before the show, are basically there for your entertainment. And again, some of them are very well done. You know, I don't watch a heck of a lot of them because they're misleading. You know, they don't accurately depict how an investigation should be performed, especially one where there is something that may be dark and sinister, and it's not grandma coming for a visit because he just had a newborn baby or someone just got married or something. Those are beautiful things.
Yeah.
Those are beautiful things. And I just helped a neighbor of mine up around the corner a couple of months ago. She posted something on Facebook. It was a mother's group in my town, like, you know, mothers of Wallingford. I live in Wallingford, Connecticut. And she posted something where they're having some phenomena in their home that they couldn't explain. Lights flickering. Her year-and-a-half-year-old was looking at something in the room and following it with his eyes and would start crying. He was scared. The dog would hide under the bed. So she's posting this on this mother's group. And of course, you got about 50 people, and I'm not even exaggerating. 50 people are jumping on. Oh, you need to call Father so-and-so down at Holy Trinity Church. You need to have a priest come out and exercise your home.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yep.
So my daughter, who helps me out a lot, I have twin daughters. They're 24. She helps me out a lot with my lectures. She'll run the computer for me and things. She's like, no, you need to call my dad. You know, so she private messaged her, and I said, Em, just give her my phone number. I give people my cell phone number. So she called me within a few minutes, and I talked to her and, you know, gave her some advice, told her what to do, and basically told her, face your fear. Look, I know something's happening to you don't understand. I don't know what's going on there, okay? But I don't need to run over to the house with a bunch of equipment and, you know, start photographing everything. That's what people want to do because they want to grab some kind of photograph or picture or audio or something, and they want to throw it on social media in hopes that they'll be discovered.
Yep.
That's not what I do. I have a face for radio. I don't want to be on TV. So anyway, long story short, the home, I was able to talk her and to her husband and told them to try a few things, and she did that, and a period of a couple of weeks went by. I hadn't heard from her, so I sent her a text. Everything doing okay? Oh, yes, Joe, I'm very, very sorry. We've just been busy with family things and the baby. She goes, everything seems to have quieted down. So a lot of times, and I never even went to the house. I just gave her advice over the phone.
Yep.
I said, I am right around the corner. I literally am right around the corner. I said, you call me anytime, day or night. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If something happens and you're frightened, I'll come over. I can't guarantee I'll hear the phone. I said, but
and that's Lorraine, the first obstacle. Yeah.
Lorraine used to say, honey, if you need me, call me. And, you know, but I said, Lorraine, unless I really need your help, I'm not going to bother you at 2 a.m.
Right.
But she would always be there for me, you know, and I knew I could make that call if I had to. But anyway, you know, I get off on a rant and I get off on a tangent on things, but it's only because I care. I'm so passionate about this work. Yeah. You know, we don't charge a penny for helping people. If people have the means and they can pay our expenses, travel expenses or what have you, for 37 years, I've been out of pocket to help people and I'm happy to do it. You can ask my wife that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a rich man by any means. I've turned down television shows and things like that because that's not what I do. I'm in this work to help people, and today, now that I'm older and hopefully a little wiser, I want to carry on their legacy, you know.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people out there that don't agree with the Warren's methods, or they call them fakes and phonies, and believe me, you know, don't judge a life you haven't lived. You know, I knew these people intimately. They were sweet people. They were like, I always say, they were like grandparents to me. You know, they taught me a lot. But I've told people, I said, if you're going to insult the Warrens, you're insulting me. Yeah. Because they're not here to defend themselves. You know, so that's not fair. You know, but there's a lot of good people out there that have the same drive and the same goals. And this foundation is made up of those people. And my job now is basically to help people. Yes, I'm still doing that. I'm still active in the work, but more, I want to be more as an educator. And if people want to listen to me, I will teach them whatever I can about how I learned, and hopefully pass on my knowledge to the next generation.
And that's how you, like you said at the start, that's how you become full circle. When you got into it, Ed and Lorraine, they taught you, and you've taken their teaching, their methods, and now you are applying it. I mean, you have been. I mean, let's not joke about it. You have been the whole time, but that's the role that you're also playing now.
Yeah, you know, and you know what I do is I do a lot of, you know, lectures. I call them presentations. I'll do them for private organizations. I do them, you know, as fundraisers, colleges, universities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a student body. I've talked to 30 people. I've talked to 3,000 people. You know, I'm like, look, this is real. This does exist. It's not as prevalent as Hollywood would want you to think. You know, I mean, you know, look at a case like The Exorcist. Just about everybody knows that movie.
Right.
The Exorcist. That was based on a true story. And that story happened through means of divination, because the young boy, the 14-year-old boy, his mm-hmm. name was Ronald, they mm-hmm. called him Robbie, yep. was introduced to the Ouija board with his aunt. And his aunt used to play the Ouija board, taught him how to use the Ouija board. And then when his aunt passed away, he continued to use that board to try to connect with her. But you know what? You're usually not connecting with the soul of a dead loved one. You know, that's a doorway for, you know, evil to enter. You're basically opening your front door and saying, hey, come on in. But what are you letting in?
Right.
You don't know what you're letting in. Oh, no. Don't worry, Joe. It's a spirit of a little girl or a little boy. Yeah, it's going to portray itself as something innocent in order to lure you in, because by your own free will, you're allowing that to come in. And that's one thing I learned that God won't touch. It's free will.
You know, right.
You see everything, horrible things happen in the world. You know, mass shootings, a war in Ukraine. You know, people say, why would God let this happen? God has limits. God has limits. If, you know, the devil can only do what the God will allow him to do, or yep. it to do, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it hates us. You know, the devil hates us because we're made in God's image. If that is what you believe, it's what I happen to believe. You know, and so I have an attitude about this, because I'm like, well, you can't hurt me because I'm a child of God. I was made in his image. You may hate me, but there's nothing you could do to me because I got him in my corner. That's the way I feel. And that's what keeps me strong. And, you know, my faith keeps me strong. But, you know, physically, I've been picked up and thrown across the room when I was 350 pounds, like I was nothing.
Right, right, right. Yeah, no one, I don't think there's very few that actually understand the true power that some of these forces have. You know, Joe, I think what I want to take another break here real fast, because there's a lot to talk about, and I think this is a good stopping point. If you have any questions for Joe Franke, put them in the chat, or just any comments or anything else. We're going to finish up our conversation. We're going to talk more about investigating with the Warrens, as well as paranormal investigation today. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And join us tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. We're going to have Nicole Antoinette on from Guiding Echoes, and she's going to talk about her psychic development circle. That's going to be a fascinating conversation. Wednesday, we bring back the talented Moon Girl. She's going to inform us on the ancient art of Chinese face readings. Thursday, we bring on Miranda Young as we talk about the haunted historic Scott County Jail. And we'll be playing some evident recordings as well. Thursday, we're also going to have a big announcement for our next guest on Tuesday's show, We're not going to be on Friday or Monday. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Really looking forward to it. We have on with us today Joe Franke, who is the board chair, Warren Legacy Foundation, as well as a paranormal investigator for for quite some time. I mean, I don't want to make you sound old, Joe, that's not my job to do that. But you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
Like that's all you have to say about
37
it.
37 years. Yeah, I was 18 years old. I can't remember that far back. Matter of fact, in one of my presentations, I put my high school picture, my senior year picture.
Yeah.
And the reason I put it up there is I said, that's how old I was when I met the Warrens.
Wow. Wow.
That's when I had hair and it wasn't gray. But.
So we got another question in the chat, and that's Tom asking, will there be a time when the Warrens recordings and videos are ever going to be released publicly?
Well, I don't own any of that stuff. That's owned by their daughter, Judy, and Tony Spear, the son-in-law. However, I know they have a lot of stuff on YouTube. They have a YouTube channel. Mm. And you can watch a lot of the their interviews. I believe there's tours of the virtual tours of the museum, which is fascinating.
Yeah,
I never got tired of going in there. But yeah, they have control over the museum and everything in it. But I know that they show some of the videos and play the recordings at events that Tony has.
Yeah,
they're usually in Connecticut. So I'm not sure where Tom is, but people have flown in from all over the world to see these things. But there is a bunch of stuff on the YouTube channel. So if you just Google the Warrens on YouTube, you could probably find them.
I flew in and I was at the first Warren convention and so I saw Annabelle, I saw the dinosaur. You know, they had that whole thing. I mean, it's really interesting, and I mean, it's weird. At the same time, getting your picture taken with a doll and, you know, all that stuff. But it's like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Now, my question to you, and this is coming from somebody who does put on events and stuff. I put on paranormal events and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I find that's really lacking, and so I'm going to sound like a hypocrite. I'm probably going to annoy friends of mine that listen and whatnot. But I really feel like that we as a paranormal community, at least from my eyesight, whether I'm not seeing the full breadth of it or I'm just seeing a little bit of it, I really feel like we've gotten away from private investigations, that everything I see everyone talking about, whether on Facebook or these events or whatever else, are the events and are meeting people from television. And I feel like we have lost our way a little bit.
Yeah. And a lot of these, they call them, I guess they're called paranormal celebrities. I don't call them that, but
yeah,
that's a term that they use. And I'm not trying to knock anybody, but again, you know, these public events, I mean, they're fun. You find an old place that's alleged to be haunted, and you know, you sell tickets for 50, 100 people to be there, and you do a public ghost hunt. That's great. I mean, people love those things. I don't do a lot of those. I'll do them if an event coordinator wants to have me there, and I usually give a talk about my experiences, much like I'm doing with you folks tonight.
Yep.
I'm not knocking them, certainly, but if you're going to do a true investigation, you can't have 50 or 100 people there.
No, you can't.
You know, if you want to really do an investigation, you know, you want to have the minimum number of people there. You know, a lot of people get stuck on EMF reading. Electromagnetic field. I mean, what is the Earth? The Earth is just a big magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a tip for investigators out there. If you're investigating a building or a home, you know, ask the homeowner, is it okay if we turn the main off?
Yeah.
Shut the power off to the entire house. Okay. Now, if you're getting EMF spikes, that's interesting. Doesn't mean there's a ghost standing in front of you, but it's interesting because ghosts, you know, the theory is, and it's a theory, that they're energy. And they could set off some of these gadgets. You know, I don't know about a lot of these gadgets. I don't have a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I do have an EMF meter. I have an old Gauss meter.
Yep.
It's probably 30 years old. Matter of fact, the best piece of equipment that I've got in my arsenal, in my bag, is a Sony tape recorder, magnetic tape recorder. It's about 30-some-odd years old. I've gotten more phenomena on that, EVPs, and Class A, than I've gotten on digital recorders or video recorders.
Would you ever consider going back, say that money doesn't matter, because, I mean, this, what we're talking about here is not cheap, but go back and focus more on, I mean, I'm sure the techniques are the same, but he had talked about earlier, like using film cameras, stuff like that. Would you go back and use film cameras if you could? And just like you said, magnetic analog tape recorders, would you go back doing it that way?
I would love to. When I first started, my first camera I used was a Polaroid.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know how many people out there remember what a Polaroid camera is.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Polaroids and, you know, film cameras. And I have, right in my desk drawer here, I found some photos, some old photos. I don't know if you can see this.
Here, let's
do it. An old photo of Ed and Lorraine. I was on an investigation with them.
Oh, cool.
I think this one was 1993 in New Hampshire, Lake Sunapee, New Hampshire.
That's cool.
And I stumbled across them. I'm sharing some stuff with you here. I hope you don't mind, Greg.
Not at all.
I was cleaning out my basement a couple weeks ago, and I came across this book. The Graveyard, one of the books that was given to me and signed by Ed and Lorraine.
Oh, that's nice.
And Ed didn't sign a lot of stuff, to my knowledge. Lorraine would always say, you know, love and prayers, Lorraine Warren. But Ed didn't sign a lot of things, so that was precious to me. I have a few other items that were given to me by them over the years. And, you know, I'll bring them to events sometimes just to showcase them and let people see them, and they can handle them if they want. But they're not for sale.
No.
You know, I have one of the original copies of The Demonologist, you know, book that came out. And, you know, but I would love to go back in time if I could. I think that social media and the internet, it helps in some ways, it hurts in some ways. But the field today has gotten so, you know, colluded with, mm-hmm. you know, would-be investigators. There are a lot of talented people out there doing great work.
Yep.
However, you know, if you do a Google search for ABC Paranormal, I mean, how many pages come up, you know, and everybody has a spin. Everyone has an agenda, or not everyone, but you know, I'm not lumping everybody in the same group, but this is what grinds my gears.
Yep.
Because you have truly frightened people, frightened families out there that may or may not be having a paranormal affliction. However, in their minds, it's very real, you know, and I'm sorry to get so long winded on things, Greg, but
I'm
very passionate about this
yep.
because, you know, I don't think a lot of these people, they're not making this stuff up. They're not trying to fool you. But in their mind, it is very real. They may think that they're really experiencing something when they're not. I've interviewed, you know, husbands and wives, you know, and children separate from one another. And the wife might be saying this, this, and this is happening. And the husband looks at me and goes, I don't know. She's crazy. I don't, you know, I'm like, well, no. I mean, she's not making this up. I can tell. I can usually tell.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, my job is to listen to them. There's a lot of times I'll go over someone's house, have a cup of coffee, listen to them, walk around the home, do a few things, maybe say a prayer or two, and I'll leave, give them some advice. A week later, call me. I haven't been able to sleep this well in weeks and months. What did you do? Really? I didn't do anything. Psychosomatic. You know, but if I can bring some level of comfort or peace to them just by coming out and listening to them, so be it.
Can I ask you something, though, that might be kind of weird for you? You say that if you go to a house and you know, sit with them, have coffee, walk around and stuff, do you ever think that it's possible that Lorraine's with you, and though you may feel like you didn't do anything, just you being there, Lorraine did
Lorraine
something
and
there?
They're, you know, it's a good question. They're always with me.
Yeah.
And my faith tells me that. However, you know, I'll tell you a quick story if I can.
Yeah, please do.
Two weeks ago, I'm on the phone with a good friend and fellow member of the organization, very gifted psychic. And I was taking some psychic classes with her to help fine-tune my skills.
Sure.
And I wanted to discuss a case with her after the call. She goes, sure, I got some time. So we end the call and the other students leave, and she's like, wait a minute, Joe, I just have to tell you, Lorraine is coming through to me, you know, and it just out of left field. And she says, Lorraine is telling me that she's sorry she didn't get to say goodbye to me.
Wow.
Now, I had seen her last about 3 weeks before she passed away. And I thank Tony and Judy because I was on a very short list of people that they would let go see Lorraine, you know, in her, you know, as she, her health was failing. And
yeah.
I'll be ever eternally grateful to them for that. And then she said something. She goes, Lorraine said to tell Laurel that she loves her. That's my wife's name.
Oh, wow.
And my friend didn't even know my wife's name.
No, no.
She said, tell Laurel. So I knew this was real.
Yeah.
There was no reason for it not to be real, you know. So she came through with a message for me because I used, you know, my friend as the conduit, I guess, because I wasn't, I guess my skills aren't fine-tuned enough to pick that up. But to answer your question again, yes, I believe they're with me. I will ask them to be with me because when I'm going on a case, yeah, I might have some notes on the case, talk to the people on the phone or through email, but I don't know really what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
Usually it's nothing. It's a very, very small percentage of cases where there's something really, really bad there. You know, whether it be poltergeist activity or, you know, God forbid, a negative entity or something. That's very rare. You know, thank God. I tell people, if my phone is not ringing, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy. I've had people say, oh, geez, Joe, I tell them the story when I was picked up and thrown across the room about 12 feet, thrown into a wall by some unseen force. They're like, oh, weren't you scared? I was maybe 21, 22 years old. I said, yeah, I was scared, but I was more angry than scared at the time. And I got up and I was pissed because there's nothing tangible. There's nothing there that I can grab and fight.
No.
You know, I can only fight it with my faith. But basically, I got up and I was ripping. I'm like, is that all you got? You know, but when I visit families that have children that are being terrified because they're going after the weak and the innocent and people that are depressed or have substance abuse issues, you know, they target the weak because there's something I call victim souls,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a term I heard many, many years ago, and I have adopted it. Because these negative forces are looking for that doorway to be open. And even things like addictions to, like, you know, pornography, things like that, can attract these things.
Yep.
You know, or obviously the occult, if you're into the occult, if you're using forms of divination. And this is where people may take issue with what I say, but I'm talking about not only Ouija boards, tarot cards, astrology, you know, divining rods, things like that. You know, when you're seeking knowledge of the future through supernatural means, you're kind of playing with fire there.
Yeah.
And you can ask any Catholic exorcist, and I'm not talking about Father Joe that works down in the parish priest.
No.
You know, I'm talking about a priest that has been through the classes at the Vatican and have been deemed an exorcist by the Vatican and by their bishop. You know, so this does exist. It's rare.
It is. Now, we don't have a lot of time left. We have less than 2 minutes left. I want to also it's your show. Trust me, it's okay. I'm happy that we're talking about this. And folks, we're going to have Joe on again if he enjoyed tonight. I would love to have him on again. But for those who want to reach out to the Warren Legacy Foundation, if you need help. Or if you would like to join, though there is an interview process to join, you go to warrenlegacyfoundation.com. You can go there and you can see all the options that you can do to take to either join or if you need help, and someone will help you. And that's super, super important. We have about a minute left, Joe. Anything I'm missing on that front?
No. We are here, like you said, we're here to help people. We're always looking for new applicants. It is a pretty rigorous application process, and especially for me, Chris, like, you know, Joe, if it was up completely up to me, I wouldn't let anybody in because I'm very protective. I'm just very protective of the Warren name.
Yes.
And unfortunately, there are people that want to just use the name and ride the coattails.
Yep.
And, I've experienced that, and, I can usually see through that. It's like, someone just wants to be part of the foundation because they want to be attached to the Warren name and throw it up on their Facebook page. If that's what you want to do, please don't apply.
Absolutely.
We're looking for like-minded individuals that just really want to help people.
And I'm going to say firsthand that it's not rigorous if you are in the right frame of mind, because that's how I felt about it. I felt like I knew what I wanted. I knew what I was doing, and there's a lot to it, but it wasn't difficult at all. Joe Franke, thank you very much for joining us today. I hope you had a good time tonight.
I had a great time. I'm sorry that I got so long-winded.
That
hour just vaporized.
It really does. And folks, tomorrow we're going to have on Nicole Antoinette. Everyone have a good night, and we will see you tomorrow.